Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, May 22nd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky basketball loses another five-star recruit. Decision time is here for Hamidou Diallo. Stay or go? Dominique Hawkins still getting NFL buzz. Billy Gillespie is back and better than ever. Kinda. The Reds lose again. Is the Celtics' Isaiah Thomas the new Patrick Ewing? Another reason to attend Las Vegas Raiders games. And we pick a Mac Daddy Stogie pick for Monday night. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Mo Bamba, or La Bamba, or Los Lobos, or the Black Mamba, or whatever you want to call it. He's not going to Kentucky. He's a big five-star player, and he will be going to the University of Texas and not Kentucky. Citing the fact, well, there's less pressure on you at Texas than there is at Kentucky. Well, that's probably true when it comes to basketball, certainly not football. But if you really want to go somewhere where there's less pressure, do you really want that guy in the first place? I'm sure Calipari would tell you, just go. If you don't want the pressure, just go somewhere else. Apparently, Texas coach Shaka Smart built a relationship with Mo Bamba when he was coaching the national 18 and under team. Well, Calipari is going to rectify that. Calipari is now coaching the national 19 and under team, cultivating more recruiting relationships. We hate talking about recruiting on this show, but let's look at these top five recruiting classes for next season in college basketball. Kentucky and Duke are there, and so are three teams that had losing records last year. Texas, Missouri, and Western Kentucky. Let's see how that translates on the court. The last two seasons, the team with the number one recruit in all of college basketball, both those coaches are no longer employed. Ben Simmons was at LSU. Johnny Jones is now unemployed. Markel Fultz is probably the number one pick this year. He played for Washington last year. Lorenzo Romar got fired immediately after the season ended this year. Telling you exactly what all these recruiting classes mean. Not a whole hell of a lot until they actually take the court in November. Speaking of taking the court in November, Hamidou Diallo is now counting the hours down before he must make a decision whether he should come back to Kentucky or whether he should turn pro. For my money, he should turn pro. Now, all these alleged experts are saying that he's now leaning to come back to Kentucky. And I have absolutely nothing to base this on other than the fact that he lit up the draft combine with one of the greatest high jumps in history. But for my money, I say he's gone. I have no insight. I have no expertise on this. I say he's gone. The only expertise I have is that I live in the real world. And when a kid's going to get paid this much money, especially if he's drafted in the first round, he should go pro. This coming Wednesday is the day that these decisions have to be finalized. And Big Blue Nation is counting down the hours. But for our money, we think he's gone. We have no insight into this. We just think he's gone. But having said that, Kentucky's still a top five team for next season. No matter what. Lather, rinse, repeat.
Diamonds are forever. And so are the Four Horsemen.
Dominique Hawkins still getting buzz about playing in the NFL. We talked about this last week and how teams are citing his high school football career and now they want him to play defensive back. If I'm Dominique Hawkins, I'm looking to play professional basketball overseas somewhere. Nobody's going to pay me to play in the NBA, but maybe I can go to Europe and play. And let's just face facts, he never really started for Kentucky either. So if I'm Dominique Hawkins, follow the money, baby. Who's going to give me the most money? Something tells me it's not going to be the NFL. But in a perfect world, heck, just go play in the NFL for a few years, then go play European basketball. Easy money, right? Just stick with basketball, Dominique Hawkins. The only NFL players that didn't play in college football but played college basketball are tight ends, like Jimmy Graham, like Antonio Gates. And those were 6'6 tight ends. You're not a 6'6 tight end, brother. See you in Europe next year.
I'm a killer. I'm the dirtiest player in the game. My God, that's why Rick Flair's the best.
Great news for the Big Blue Nation. Billy Gillespie is back, and he's back with Ranger Junior College in Texas. Who is Ranger Junior College? That's the same team he coached the last 2 years. He cheated 2 years ago when they were a very good team, so their official record is 0-38. And then this year they were 10-2, and then he cited blood pressure issues and quit mid-season. But apparently all has been forgiven, and Billy Gillespie now has miraculously healed, and now he's back coaching Ranger Junior College. How much money is Ranger Junior College making off Billy Gillespie? That's all I want to know. Because the first year, he cheated because he used illegal players, and then the second year, he quit mid-season. And now you're giving him another chance? How desperate is this poor little junior college team? But then again, how desperate is Billy Gillespie? I think they both deserve and need each other exactly the same. Can't wait for that junior college Final Four next year. I'll guarantee you, Ranger Junior College will be there. And then look a couple of years out from that to see those wins vacated. So congrats, Billy Gillespie. You're back. For how long? Who knows?
Coach, so far Ole Miss has been doing a pretty good job keeping Jody Meeks covered up. He's only got 6 points. What adjustments do you need to make for him second half?
This is Kentucky. It's not Jody Meeks. He's a very good player. That's what difference does it make? Our team's ahead by two. Ole Miss is playing very good. This is not a one-man team, and that's really a bad question.
The Preakness was run on Saturday, and a horse named Cloud Computing was the winner at 13-1, ruining the Triple Crown aspirations for one Always Dreaming, basically making the Belmont an unwatchable race that only people connected with the horse racing industry and professional degenerate gamblers like us will watch. But then again, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Kentucky Derby had its second highest ratings in 25 years a few weeks back. Why is that? Because more people can gamble from their computers, from their phones. And if you've got a little bit of gambling interest in this race, you're going to watch it. Why does Marge from accounting watch the NCAA tournament every year? Because she's got a bracket with all those number one seeds getting out to the end. The only thing that can save the Belmont on television this year is heavy gambling promotion before. And believe me, you'll see it.
Not a good gambler. I lose every time I gamble. Doesn't matter what on, a football game or a horse. I bet a horse a while back. You know you're not a good gambler when the horse you bet on comes out of the gate wearing a corrective shoe on one hoof. Ooh, I didn't see that. Come on, Gimpy. I know, you think the name would have gave it away.
The Kentucky High School Track and Field State Championships in Class 3A happened over the weekend, but the last two events were canceled on Saturday night when a storm hit and everybody had to evacuate the stadium at UK. Let me get this straight. You have the state championships in track and field going on. You've got two events left, and you cancel them because of the weather? You can't just start over maybe the next day? You can't maybe wait the storm out? This all happened on Saturday night. I'm sure there was a time between Saturday night and sometime on Sunday afternoon where you could have run these last two events. But no, can't do that to Kentucky high school kids, but I'll bet anything. If this had anything to do with high school basketball, and for some reason they had to tip off a tournament game at 1 o'clock in the morning, by gollies, they'd tip that game off at 1 o'clock in the morning. Same thing goes for football. But track and field, poor little track and field, you don't mean anything to us, but we're just going to let you go home. All that hard work that you put in all season for this state championship event that you're about to participate in, sorry, better luck next year. And for you seniors, you just got a life lesson. That's what the people who run this event are basically telling these kids. Hey, work all year, but if it rains, sorry, all that work is down the drain. Literally. Big thumbs down to the Kentucky State High School Athletic Association for canceling the last events of the track and field championships for Class 3A. And yes, nobody cares about track and field, but it's high school. We're not talking about professionals here. This is high school track and field. I'll bet if the Sweet 16 ran long, they'd play those games at 4 o'clock in the morning, because it's all about money. Just saying. So at least these kids got a lesson in life. Follow the money. High school sports are somewhat profitable in football and basketball, and nobody gives a rat's you-know-what about track and field. Just a fact of life.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
The Reds lose again on Sunday afternoon, 6-4 to the now mighty Colorado Rockies. The game was so boring that Tom Brenneman was seen one inning interviewing a bird while he was in the booth, and apparently it brought the Reds luck. They got two solo home runs that inning. Maybe that bird should have stayed. But the Reds lose. Reds now 20-23, 4.5 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers. Is that right? Yes, it is right. We'll have more on the Brewers in just a second. But of course, yesterday's GOAT, Bronson Arroyo, who got tagged for four home runs, including one by the other team's starting pitcher. ERA now 6.75. There are 94 pitchers in Major League Baseball who have enough innings to qualify for the ERA title. Of those 94 pitchers, Bronson Arroyo is ranked 94th in ERA. But after the game, Arroyo said, "There's no backing down now." Well, there should be backing down, at least from Reds management, taking you out of the starting lineup, rotation, taking you out of the Reds roster completely, maybe giving you a job in the front office or something. Can you send faxes? Can you download stats into Excel program? Maybe that's what you should be doing now, Mr. Arroyo. Because believe me, you should not be in this starting rotation. And I know the Reds don't have anybody in the minor leagues right now ready to be competitive in the starting rotation. But anything at 81 is better than throwing out a 41-year-old pitcher who can't throw more than a mid-80s fastball on a team that's obviously going nowhere this year. But Brian Price, after the game, says Arroyo will make his next start. For all of our sakes, let's hope it's his last start. In the last seven games, the Reds have had no starting pitcher last more than 5 1/3 innings. If Arroyo does get replaced, Robert Stevenson, who is a very high draft pick, who is very, very highly regarded, although he's looked lousy out of the bullpen for most of this year, he should be the new starter. We'll see. Billy Hamilton, 0-for-5 yesterday, but 2 stolen bases, .258 batting average, a big improvement from April, but a .311 on-base percentage. Of the 181 qualified hitters in Major League Baseball, he still is only 123rd in on-base percentage. Not good for someone who gets as many steals as he has and is asked to lead off every night. Maybe he should bunt more. Billy Hamilton has one bunt base hit this year. Really? You've played 43 games and you have one bunt hit. And the alleged fastest man in baseball has only succeeded on one bunt for a base hit this year. That's part of your problem, Billy Hamilton. Joey Votto, another home run yesterday. He and Scott Schebler now on pace for 45 home runs. That won't last. But the last time the Reds had two guys with 40 home runs, Johnny Bench and Tony Perez in 1970. I look at Scott Schebler and say, "You're no Tony Perez." Devin Mesoraco, 2-for-3 yesterday, now hitting .317. Don't worry, he'll be hurt soon. Speaking of injuries, Zach Cozart out again on Sunday. He missed the last two games, hitting .351 so far this year. Last year, he hit .361 in April and only hit higher than .247 one month the rest of the year after that. So for a guy with a career average of .252 and is already hitting .351 this year, and I guarantee you this guy is going to be traded before August the 1st of this year. If you're the Reds, why not sit him out? Heck, sit him out a couple of weeks. Why? That batting average is assuredly going to drop 100 points before the end of the year's over. And Zach Cozart is much more attractive to other teams hitting .351 than .251. If I'm the Reds, I trade Cozart immediately because his stock will never be higher. Why? His batting average will never be higher. History has proven that time after time after time. The Reds and the Cleveland Indians will start a 4-game, 2-in-Cincinnati, 2-in-Cleveland series starting tonight. Josh Tomlin for the Indians, 2-5 with a 6.86 ERA. Sheesh, what's happened to him? The Reds ace, using that term very loosely, Scott Feldman, 2-4, 4.29 for the Reds. The Indians 23-19 on the year, while the Reds 20-13. Cleveland just went to Houston and swept potentially the best team in baseball in a 3-game set, while the Reds have lost 8 of their last 9. And then the one game they won, they had to come back from a 4-run deficit just to win that one. So two teams definitely going in opposite directions tonight. Shockingly, Feldman, not Tomlin, has been the better pitcher all year long. And in their last 3 games, Feldman 3.38 ERA, Tomlin 4.15, a big improvement over his overall ERA of 6.86. The Reds in those interleague games against the American League, actually pretty good at home. 9-3 in their last 12, played in Cincinnati. But the Indians made a big statement over the weekend, sweeping Houston down there. You have to wonder how much they have left coming back to Cincinnati. You can tell me all this Ohio Cup series all you want. I don't think it means a whole hell of a lot to these players. The Reds have given up 59 runs in their last seven games, which includes Feldman giving up five earned over 2 2/3 innings against the Cubs last week. But the game is a big homecoming for one Edwin Encarnacion. You remember him with the Reds, right? Encarnacion played with the Reds from 2005 until midway through 2009. So in those 5 years, Encarnacion had 71 home runs and hit for a .262 average. He goes to Toronto. Encarnacion was traded brilliantly by the Reds with two other players for Scott Rolen. So from the moment of that trade on, Scott Rolen played another 4 years for the Reds, and in that time he hit 36 home runs, and he hasn't played a major league game since 2012. Flashback to Encarnacion since that trade. After joining Toronto, he hit 239 home runs and has already hit 7 this year for the Indians. And Encarnacion finished in the top 10 in home runs the last 5 years for the Blue Jays, while Scott Rolen has been sitting at home counting his money. One of the worst trades in the history of the Reds. Not up there with the Frank Robinson for Magic Beans trade, but still, a bad trade for the Reds. Lots of value on the Reds if you want to take them tonight. Right now, as of this taping, the Indians about a minus 130, which means you can get the Reds at about plus 120. You're getting the better pitcher, and you're getting the home team. The only difference is the Indians are red hot, and the Reds are not. You're on your own. May the winners be yours.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
Speaking of the Indians, you would think a revival of the franchise and getting to the World Series and coming within an eyelash of winning it all last year, you would think that would mean more fans at the ballpark, but you would be wrong. The Cleveland Indians are 28th in the major leagues in attendance this year. However, they are first in TV ratings, which makes you wonder what's really going on with these ratings. The Reds are 26th in attendance. I don't know how that happened, but they're not even in the top five in TV ratings. A lot of these TV ratings are either the Yankees and a lot of small markets. The Royals are always up there. Even the Pirates get pretty good TV ratings over the years. But for Cleveland to be first in all of Major League Baseball in TV viewers, and then nobody goes to the ballpark, makes you wonder what's really going on down there at the old Jacobs Field. That's what they used to call it when it was built back in the 90s. And for a period of time, the Indians actually had more consecutive sellouts than any team in the history of Major League Baseball when they were rolling in the 90s and early 2000s. Who knows? Maybe they've learned living in Atlanta taught me about the Braves. You don't ever have to attend the game. They're all on television. Who cares?
But I'll tell you, these Cleveland fans are great. Listen to them get behind Vaughn. Hey, way to go, Rick. All of Ohio loves you. Come on, baby. Come on, Ricky. Come on, Ricky.
Other Major League Baseball, a sign of how times have changed. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs played at Wrigley Field over the weekend, where there was a lot of rain. Friday's game had a rain delay in which the bullpens of both teams had what was termed a dance-off, which is all well and good, but let's just be honest. Do you think teams from the 70s, do you think the Reds and the Dodgers from the 70s would have had a dance-off during a rain delay? Probably not. And then on Saturday, the Cubs and Brewers were rained out before the game even started. Before they even opened the gates, they just told people, hey, just go on home. And the funny thing was, it didn't rain in Chicago all day on Saturday. It rained in the morning, which pissed off a lot of the Brewers, who were already pissed off at the Cubs because the Cubs pitching coach Chris Bosio has accused Eric Thames of being on steroids. And of course, on Sunday, the Cubs absolutely blew out the Brewers. But that's neither here nor there. The Brewers are actually leading the National League Central right now, but I can promise you this. There's no baseball expert or number cruncher out there that thinks that the Brewers are going to hold off the Cubs in this division this year. But that won't stop the Brewers from being hard asses about it. Just saying.
This is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose. But far and away, the most obnoxious fans in baseball in this league are those who follow this team right here. It's unbelievable. Now, you know, I've said all winter, they talk about this team winning the division, and my comment is they won't win it because at the end of the day, they still are the Chicago Cubs, and they will figure out a way to screw this whole thing up.
Good news for you Tebow fans. He had a home run yesterday. That's the good news. The bad news, it was his third home run of the season and his first since April the 9th. If I'm not mistaken, Tebow's minor league team is coming to Lexington to play the mighty Lexington Legends, a team which I can tell you absolutely nothing about, be this coming weekend. So I'm telling you now, don't be surprised if the rug is pulled out from under Lexington and Tim Tebow gets called up. But Tim Tebow just tied a legend in minor league baseball with career home runs. Michael Jordan hit 3 home runs in his minor league career. Tim Tebow now has 3 as well. What are the odds Tebow never makes it to 4? For my money, it's about a coin flip at this point. Unless it's one of those little league ground ball to second base followed by 3 throwing errors home runs.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Here's my friend. Don't walk on me. I'm not through gloating.
Sad news from the Dodgers organization. Eric Gagne, who holds the major league record for consecutive saves with 84, won the 2003 Cy Young Award. Hard to believe that's 14 years ago. And for my money, had the best 3-year run of any closer in the history of Major League Baseball. Go look at his stats from 2002 to 2004. Eric Gagne, now 41 years old, finally retired and gave up his comeback after allowing 5 runs in an inning and a third over the weekend. Apparently now, Eric Gagne is going to coach. It is not a very well-kept secret that the reason why Eric Gagne was so good when he was on top was because he was a massive steroid user. And then, in 2005, when they started testing for steroids, all of a sudden Eric Gagne became a mere mortal and was out of baseball within 3 years. Probably the most blatant steroid user in terms of looking at the stats that ever lived. Not so good starting pitcher, gets moved to the bullpen, starts taking steroids, best relief pitcher in the history of the game. They start testing for steroids, out of the game within 3 years. In his early 30s. You do the math. So good luck, Eric Gagne. If you're going to be a coach, might want to teach your kids about HGH and masking drug tests. Probably your best bet. The NBA, the Boston Celtics win game 3 in Cleveland last night. No Isaiah Thomas, no problem. And of course, the buzz today, are the Celtics better without Isaiah Thomas? Of course they're not. But the media needs something to talk about. We go back to the old Bill Simmons, Patrick Ewing theory with this one. But Boston, a 16-point underdog last night, gets it done in Cleveland. And of course, after the game, LeBron, his always joyous and jolly self, gets on a heckler who talks about playing in high school and then kills media member Kenny Rhoda. Because allegedly, Kenny Rhoda only asks questions after the Cavaliers lose. Way to take the loss well there, LeBron. But of course, the TMZs of the world are saying that the reason the Cavs lost last night is because there's now a love triangle between Tristan Thompson, Khloe Kardashian, and Kylie Kardashian. And of course, Tristan Thompson's teammates are all teasing him about his girlfriend and his new alleged girlfriend and the like. I don't know how the Kardashians became famous in the first place, but if you're an NBA player, you might want to run. Wait till your career's over when they want nothing to do with you.
Man, you corny!
Next say something while I'm talking is getting shot. Please believe that.
The NBA Twitter account last night posted a picture of Amy Schumer and a fan enjoying the Cavaliers and Celtics game. Funny thing was that fan was only Dave Chappelle, who is 100 times better comedian than Amy Schumer will ever be. Just a man keeping us down. Maybe that's his date to the next Playa Haters Ball.
The Playa Haters Ball gives us an opportunity to hate on a diverse array of mock-ass mocks, trick-ass mocks, punk bitches and skip-scap skanks and scallywags, hoes, heifers, hee-haws, and hula-hoops.
Former Kentucky student, not basketball player, Enes Kanter finally is back in America today after his passport was held in Turkey. And afterwards, Kanter called the Turkish president the Hitler of the 21st century. That's not exactly the best way to win friends and influence people, Enes Kanter. But then again, you've got enough money. You don't have to ever worry about stuff like that. Just send all your people over to America. Because something tells me if you go back to Turkey, maybe you won't be allowed to come back this time. Can you imagine if that happened in America? Oh, wait. That did happen a while back under Trump, didn't it?
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
Boy, LeVar Ball still making headlines. Last week on the Colin Cowherd radio show, he told female co-host Christy Leahy to stay in your lane and that her opinion did not matter. For my money, her opinion matters 100 times more than Colin Cowherd's does, but I digress. Then, of course, LeVar Ball insulted Kyrie Irving's mother without knowing that Kyrie Irving's mother had died when he was 4 years old. Fox Sports 1 just playing the game with LeVar Ball. In the last 2 months, they've had him on television on their various shows 8 different times. And the Fox Sports 1 Twitter account has sent out 105 tweets with LeVar Ball mentioned in it. It was amusing and almost funny at first. Now, it's just a tired act that's going to end badly. And I think we all know that at this point. Spurs and Warriors tonight, Game 4. We'll talk about this one later in the show. The NFL. We're entering the quiet time in the NFL season before the training camp started in July. News made by Calvin Johnson, who claims he was not treated well by the Lions when he retired last year, and that he had hid several concussions from the team. And he was not upset that he had to pay back $300,000 to the team in the process. Calvin Johnson was on his way to being a Hall of Fame receiver. He probably still is a Hall of Fame receiver. And in fact, he set an NFL record for yards gained in a season from a receiver, almost getting 2,000 back in 2012 when he got 1,964 receiving yards. He played 9 years in the NFL and had 11,619 yards receiving and 83 touchdowns. His overall stats aren't exactly Hall of Fame worthy, are they? He ranks 43rd in the NFL history in career receptions. He ranks 29th in career yards, and he ranks 22nd in career touchdowns. Is that Hall of Fame worthy? I don't know, especially from a guy who never played on a team that won a playoff game. But does that even matter? Terrell Davis only played 7 years in the NFL, had 4 great years, and 3 just kind of I'm here to collect a paycheck kind of years. He just got voted into the Hall of Fame. Calvin Johnson will eventually make the Hall of Fame, but I can promise you it won't be on the first few votes. Because if guys like Chris Carter had to wait 7 years to get into the Hall of Fame, a guy like Calvin Johnson has to wait at least that long.
Silky Johnson is nominated for calling in a bomb threat to the Special Olympics, man!
Hey. Roberto Aguayo is the kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, for now at least. Last year's second round draft pick, that's right, a team drafted a kicker in the second round last year. Aguayo now has competition in camp in journeyman mediocre kicker Nick Folk. And Aguayo and Nick Folk will be competing in camp to win the kicker job. Why is this? Because Roberto Aguayo was the worst kicker in the NFL last year, and it wasn't even close. Sure, he made 32 of 34 extra points, but of field goals of 40 yards or longer, he was 4 out of 11. That says a few things. First of all, he sucks as a kicker. Second, his team wouldn't even try field goals of over 40 yards because they only tried 11. Most teams try 11 field goals of 40 plus yards in a month, much less a season. This guy has got head case written all over him. But hey, he's already collected his money. He was a second round draft pick. This is more of a reflection on Tampa Bay being morons for using a second round pick on a kicker, because every time he misses a kick, the entire franchise looks at that general manager who made that pick and thinks he's an even bigger moron than he probably is, which is a big moron anyway. So congratulations, Roberto Aguayo. Now you're ready to compete for a job. Too bad that competition is already over, because our money says you'll be walking the streets by Labor Day.
You are going to hold down that football until Charlie Brown kicks it. You got that?
Yes.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yay!
And you know what else? I did some checking around. You're not a licensed therapist. Roadhouse.
Speaking of Tampa Bay, they have a new backup quarterback. His name, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yes, you may remember him from being horrible with the Jets last year, from his stints in St. Louis and Cincinnati and Houston, and basically half the league. This is his 7th team. How in God's name do you play on seven teams as a quarterback in this league? But I digress. I'm looking at his stats right now. He started 116 games in his career. That just shows you how lousy some of these quarterbacks are in the NFL. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can start 116 games in this league, there has to be something inherently wrong with the sport as a whole. By the way, in those 116 games, 46, 69, and 1, his career record as a starter. And with all six of those teams that he played for, he has a losing record with all six of those teams. And if you think Ryan Fitzpatrick is so horrible, this guy has made over $51 million in his career so far. That doesn't count what he's going to make this year with Tampa Bay. $51 million career for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Let that settle in for a second. But my biggest question is this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is on an NFL team. Colin Kaepernick is not. And we all know exactly why that's the case.
Commitment to excellence, the motto of the Raiders. And once again, fulfill that commitment in a Super Bowl.
Good news for you degenerate gamblers out in Las Vegas. And then again, who of you is not a degenerate gambler if you're in Las Vegas? The Las Vegas Raiders are going to allow fans in the seats at the stadium to place legal bets from their phones while they're at football games. Like we couldn't do that before. Well, maybe it was on offshore accounts and that's why. But now you can legally bet on football games while you're actually at a football game. Let's just face facts here, ladies and gentlemen. Enough sports gambling goes on in this country that it's going to be legalized within 5 to 10 years. I can promise you that. We're already headed that way. Heck, there's an NFL team in Las Vegas now. 25 years ago, nobody in their right minds would have ever predicted that to happen. But here we are. My only thing is, I'm surprised that the NBA didn't move a team to Las Vegas and beat the NFL to the punch on this. But hey, too late now. The Raiders, as always, are a step ahead in terms of things like this. And something tells me they're going to be a huge benefactor, no matter what the naysayers like Mark Cuban may say about the Raiders' move to Las Vegas. But good news for Raiders fans at the game, now you can legally bet on games instead of illegally bet on games, which is what everybody else is doing anyway. Big deal.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We will go back to the NBA where we are hitting 50% on our NBA Zigzag Theory picks this playoff season. 50% will lose you money, but tonight we'll get over that magic number if we win this one. And the Spurs are 12.5-point underdogs to Golden State. The only real talking point of this game, other than the fact that Kawhi Leonard is going to be out for the Spurs, is Zaza Pachulia blaming Spurs coach Greg Popovich for the threats to his family. Well, whatever. Guess you got to talk about something during these blowout playoff series. But the Spurs are hard asses. They are not going to go down without a fight. And yes, they want to piss people off by flying all the way back out to Oakland and going to lose Game 5. But at least they're going to piss everybody else off in the process and prolong this series. Well, maybe not win the game, but at least keep it close. You're going to give us 12.5 in the Spurs? Yes, Kawhi Leonard's out, but that doesn't make them helpless. Keep in mind, this Spurs team was up 25 points on the Warriors in Game 1. Most teams down 0-3, playing at home, don't want to win this game because that means they have to travel just to get their butt kicks in Game 5 to prolong the agony. But that's exactly what the Spurs are, the kind of team that wants to prolong the agony. So we see a big effort from the Spurs tonight. And hey, Boston won at Cleveland last night. These are not going to be 4-0 sweeps. We will take the Spurs getting a big number tonight. Double-digit points in the NBA playoffs. It's fantastic. Give us the Spurs over the Warriors, your Mac Daddy Stogie of the night, and you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
Sim! What y'all know about Sim? Pay me.
Well, you are the damn devil.
And that does it for the Monday, May 22nd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to find us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.